Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, leaders in the city of Social Circle are backing the decision to keep water service shut off to a proposed federal immigration detention site. A shooting occurred yesterday afternoon at a Department of Veterans Affairs clinic in the North Georgia town of Jasper. And some South Georgia residents who lost their homes during Hurricane Helene now have new homes to move into.
We couldn't put into words how happy we are here.
Today is Wednesday, March 18th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Leaders in the city of Social Circle, east of Atlanta, are backing a decision to keep water service shut off to a proposed federal immigration detention site. GPB's Pamela Kirkland has more.
At a meeting Tuesday night, Social Circle City Council voted to support the city manager's decision to keep water service shut off at the site. Councilman Tyson Jackson says the city simply doesn't have the capacity.
We understand the reason why the water is off. It's not because it's no political stunt. It's just the fact of the matter, we do not have enough water.
Officials say the lock on the water meter will remain in place until federal authorities provide more details on how the facility would meet the town's infrastructure limits. The Department of Homeland Security plans to convert the warehouse into a detention center that could hold up to 10,000 people. For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
Some South Georgia residents who lost their homes during Hurricane Helene now have new homes to move into. GPB's Grant Blankenship reports volunteer labor made possible the new home dedications yesterday in Douglas.
Helene damaged nearly every home in Coffee County. The storm blew the roof off the home Tyler Brock shared with his wife and kids.
They still haven't fixed that house yet.
But this week, more than a year and a half after the storm, Brock's family got the keys to one of nine new homes built by a nonprofit called Hope for Coffee, a coalition of faith-based groups ranging from Old Order Amish communities to evangelical Christians. For Brock's family, the new house is a relief.
We couldn't put into words how happy we are here.
All the homes in the Sims Park neighborhood are built to withstand 150-mile-an-hour winds, almost twice the wind speed clocked by Hurricane Helene in Coffee County. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Douglas.
Police say there was a shooting yesterday afternoon at a Department of Veterans Affairs clinic in the small North Georgia town of Jasper. Police say the gunman was shot and killed, and at least one person was airlifted to a hospital. Jasper Police Chief Matt Dawkins told reporters at the scene the gunman who was killed is from the Jasper area, but details about him and information about what might have led to the shooting were not immediately released. A judge in Massachusetts has put a temporary hold on any changes made to vaccine recommendations by a CDC panel. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, was overhauled by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. last summer. GPB's Sophie Gratis reports the panel was supposed to meet today.
The judge's stay on any action by the Vaccine Advisory Committee, including meetings, comes from a lawsuit against the government and Kennedy Jr. by the American Academy of Pediatrics and other physician groups. Robert Wiskind, former president of the Georgia chapter of the organization, which represents over 1,000 pediatricians in the state, says the decision is gratifying.
For the past year or more, ACIP has not engaged in evidence-based adjustments to the vaccine schedule. All that will be delayed is further erosion of vaccine confidence, and for that I'm grateful.
Under the judge's order, the CDC's recommended vaccine schedule should return to its previous version, currently followed by most U.S. physician groups. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
The Georgia Ports Authority is expanding its cold storage capacity at its Garden City terminal ahead of citrus season. GPB's Chase McGee reports today's announcement is expected to boost vegetable, fruit, and other food shipments.
The new 300,000-square-foot facility at Savannah's Garden City Terminal has 4,000 square feet earmarked for chilled cargo inspections. Those are carried out by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. According to a press release from Georgia Ports Authority, imports from South Africa, Chile, and Peru enter the state in May and June, and the chilled facility should be open by then. The facility will handle traffic between the U.S. Southeast, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Imports into the country often require inspections by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It could also benefit Georgia's agricultural producers. The Ports Authority handles around 40% of the nation's frozen poultry exports. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
A Southwest Georgia community hard hit by the closure of a paper mill is welcoming plans for a new data center. Officials in Early County submitted plans to the state on behalf of data center developer QTS last week, but Suzanne Reynolds of the Early County Development Authority says plans for a data center had been in the works since 2024.
It just almost seemed like it was a godsend, especially after this past summer.
That was when Georgia Pacific closed its mill, the county's largest employer and tax revenue generator, ending jobs for about 500 people. Data centers have met with pushback elsewhere, but Reynolds says the project to her looks like millions of dollars coming to a community ready for it. Two men are paddling the entire length of the Chattahoochee River to raise money and awareness for a river advocacy group. Jared Horn and Stephen Burden began their 500-mile journey on March 1st in the North Georgia mountain town of Helen. Their rafting adventure is expected to take a month. I caught up with them last night, just after they set up camp outside Coosetta, south of Columbus, on the banks of the river. All right, Jared, why did you decide to paddle the river from start to end?
Oh, that's a loaded question. So I grew up on the river down here in Phoenix City, Alabama, and it's just been part of my life ever since I was born. And so I always had the idea of, like, where does this thing really take you? So I always had this idea of doing it, and I did it once right after college. And it didn't really go to plan. We didn't make it as far as we wanted. We made it to Roswell from Helen. I met Steven kayaking in Columbus, Georgia, and we both had this crazy idea. And we were both like, yeah, we're both stoked on doing it. And ended up doing it.
What kind of challenges have you guys faced along the way so far?
Honestly, eating enough food, because you're using a lot of calories. That's a big challenge because you can only pack so much in your boat. And you're kind of busy all day. Another challenge for me has been just, like, I guess back muscles, like sitting in a kayak all day. It's kind of hard on your back, believe it or not.
And Stephen, what's been the most difficult section of the river to raft?
Normally it would be Columbus, Georgia, right there on what most people know as the fall line. Those are the biggest rapids on the river, but it really depends. So if you're, for example, like Lake West Point, we had 20 mile an hour headwind at one point, and that means you're struggling to gain any ground at all, and sometimes you move backwards. So if you're talking about, like, the difficulty rating, it's definitely Columbus, Georgia. But if you're talking about endurance and just making it through the day, it just depends on the wind and the weather.
Up in the mountain towns, did you guys have enough water underneath you?
Oh, well, for the first 14 miles, we actually had to hike feet in the riverbed because there's not enough water to kayak down it.
So you guys were really, I'm just going to say, really strict about you were going to be in the water no matter what.
Yes, sir. It is a true source to see. From the baby springs that it pops out of the mountain all the way to when it's a monster pouring into the sea.
Stephen, tell me about the kind of help that you guys have had from people along the way, providing you food, providing you places to rest, getting you around, other logistics.
We've had tons of support. We could not do this without all the people helping us get around the dams, for one. We've had kind people drop us off food. My friends in Atlanta, since I grew up there, I know some people in there's no really legal places to camp in Atlanta. So we had friends pick us up and give us a place to stay, warm beds, showers. Jared's family has been really helpful here.
Oh, man, I tell you what.
Down on the fall line. They picked us up around every single dam with their truck and trailer. And we made connections for people who own land that allowed us to walk on their property that saved us like an hour per day almost.
Jared, along with the challenges, I imagine such an adventure also has moments of beauty and wonder that most of us don't get a chance to experience. Can you share any of those stories?
Yes. Oh, man, where do I start? This section of it, like, just the pure beauty of it. I never really explored any of the Chattahoochee upper south or north. And this trip has opened my eyes, man. Like, there are stretches within Atlanta, right after Atlanta, that are just absolutely just drop dead gorgeous. Like shoals, exposed rocks, massive trees. And then every now and again, man, you'll just happen upon a waterfall on the side of the river. It's just like a little stream is just pouring in to the Chattahoochee, and it's just like, you know, it could be anywhere from, we've seen them like 60 feet all the way to like 10 or 5 feet. And it's just like the beauty, honestly, of the water, just how clear you can see. In some of these sections, I have been just in shock because, I mean, everyone says, like, you know, it's nasty. You got muddy water. It's disgusting. You don't need to get in that water. And I've found some stretches like in there that, like, Gulf Coast clear water, if not clearer water.
Stephen, what have you learned that you wish other Georgians knew about the significance of the state's rivers?
Well, I would say that I didn't know just how much we rely on this river. But from a couple of different perspectives, one, you paddle down this and you start to realize, wow, within the first 30 miles, it already has a dam on it. And as you go down, you see water intakes every few miles. Everyone's drinking the water from this river. So we have a heavy, heavy reliance on it. And from another perspective, almost half of the Chattahoochee is still water because of the reservoirs. So it's almost, if you want to think of it as like, if it's 51% calm, not moving, you could say it's not even a river anymore with how much we use it. Not quite tragic, but it's we are definitely taking a heavy toll on it. I wish people could get out and see just how much that their lives depend on this resource.
And you guys are doing this for a cause. Tell me about what you're raising money and awareness for.
Yeah, so we're raising awareness for just the river in general, just getting people engaged with it, excited to go out and see it. And the money raising aspect is it's going toward water quality testing, trash cleanups, beautification advocacy, and I mean, also the protection of some of our really important native species. So it's going to the Chattahoochee River Conservancy, and they're a nonprofit that does all sorts of stuff like that.
I understand you guys did this once before. How rare is it for someone to raft, canoe, or kayak the entire Chattahoochee?
Honestly, I have no idea. You hear stories of people doing it all the way, but you don't really know how far they may have gone. So
I don't know of anyone else that's really done this recently. I know one person that helped write the map on the Chattahoochee. His name's Joe Cook. I know he did a fundraiser similar to ours in the 90s. Especially if you're considering the fashion we're doing it in, 1 month long for a somewhat large fundraiser. I don't think anyone's done this in at least the past 10, 15 years.
And how can people follow you on your journey?
Oh, well, our favorite way is for...
Hop in a boat and come with us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to get on the river and come see us. So we have a map online of everywhere we're going to be. And but if you want to follow along from a more cozy position, because I know it's cold in March, we have a TikTok called Down the Hooch with underscores between each word, or Chat River 2026 on Instagram is how we're letting everyone know where we are and what we've seen.
All right. Jared Horn, Stephen Burden, thanks for joining me and good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Atlanta Braves all-star outfielder Ronald Acuña Jr. led Team Venezuela to a win over Team USA in the World Baseball Classic Championship game last night. Acuña spoke with ESPN about the comparison between winning the World Series with the Braves and winning the World Baseball Classic with his home country.
When we championship in the World Series, I can play, you know, for right. Injury ball. Now, I can feel the emotion, I can feel the experience, so I'm so proud for myself, for other team, for my country too, so I'm just so excited.
Ronald Acuña Jr., we'll be back with the Braves for opening day on Friday, March 27th. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback, we'd love to hear it. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again tomorrow with another Georgia Today.